Good morning and welcome to Zion. I'm Jana Gingrich, one of the pastors here at Zion. I see some new faces. I see familiar faces. We want to welcome everyone here to our worship together this morning. Hear these words. God, source of all hope and holiness, we gather this morning to be church. Bless those who are absent, but not from our hearts. Bless those who are distant, but not from your love. Bless each of us here that we may choose justice by your Spirit, draw kindness from the well of your mercy, and walk humbly in your path, O God. Let's take a moment to greet one another before we begin our call to worship. Please stand. It's good to be back. I've been around Idaho, Montana, Wyoming the last couple weeks, and we went to Yellowstone, and I continue to love this park. It's full of surprises every time you're there. If they made a commercial, I would be willing to be in it to promote YNP. But for my call to worship, I've chosen some pictures of our trip that I want to share as we listen to words to our Creator God. And this is a psalm of the cosmos as we begin. And I want you to participate with me. So when I say the words, "and so do we," then I want you to say, "and so do we." So let's practice that. Loving God, all creation calls you blessed, and so do we. And so do we. Yes. Loving God, all your creation calls you blessed. Your Spirit imprints the whole universe with life and mystery. Yes, all creation proclaims your love, and so do we. And so do we. You have woven an intimate tapestry and call it life and called it good. In love, you have formed a universe so diverse yet so connected. And into its web, you call us forth to walk the land and swim the sea with all our natural brothers and sisters. All of nature calls you blessed, and so do we. To the stars, we seem no more than blades of grass. Yet to you, each of us, as each blade of grass and each star, is an irreplaceable treasure, an essential companion on this journey of love. Loving God, as you draw the whole world into salvation, guide us with your Spirit that we might not be only pilgrims on the earth, but pilgrims with the earth, journeying home to you. Loving God, all creation calls you blessed, and so do we. Open our hearts to understand the intimate relationship that you have with us and the world you have made. Only with this faith can we hope for a better tomorrow. Loving God, all creation calls you blessed, and so do we. Amen. Alleluia. Would you pray with me? Creator God, we see the beauty all around us of your world, and the universe proclaims your glory. From tiny pebbles to far-reaching stars, all that you have made affirms your power and creativity. It is an awesome thing you have given us, this imagination that is so like your own. Inspire us with your sacred presence today. Renew us in the words we say, in the songs we sing, and as we share in fellowship and worship. For in you all things were created, and you deserve our attention, our praise, and our honor. May our heart's first desire be toward you, and may our lives never stop telling how much we love you. Receive our worship as an outpouring of our love. We give all of this to you in your name. Amen. Let's sing together.
Good morning. Please stand and turn in your blue hymnal to number 8. Number 8.
Be seated.
now turn to the hymn 369.
Lord, whose love in humble service bore the weight of human need, who upon the cross forsaken worked your mercy's perfect deed, we your servants bring the worship.
And now turn in Sing the Journey to number 54. Number 54.
Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people. Light for the world to see. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the dark. Christ be our
Would the ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Let's pray together. Lord, your abundance is without measure and cannot be defined or contained. It spills out, overflowing into our world and our lives. We thank you and praise you for the wondrous gifts of your Spirit and ask that these offerings contribute to the peace and wholeness of your creation. Amen. It's time for the kids to come up, but I got to get this on first. Okay, all right. Time for children's story. Follow me. I'm going up front. Let's go. Boy, this is my backpack. It's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy to carry. I think I can make it up here. Come on over here, closer. Come over here. Good morning, boys. We've got all boys up front. Do you guys use these? Do you use this here? I want to know, does somebody want to lift this backpack up for me? Yeah. You want to lift that up? You want to put it on? Yeah. Why? Somebody else? Nico? Jack, come lift my bag. What do you think of that? You want to put it on? You want to wear it around for a while? Okay. Here we go. Okay, well, you think you could carry that around all day? Yeah? Why? Why not? Why not? Okay, Lincoln, come try it. What do you think? Can you wear that all day? Uh-oh. That's pretty heavy, huh? Do you have a heavy backpack to take to school like this? It's pretty heavy. I don't think I would want to carry this around all day long, this heavy load. Well, there was a woman in the Bible named Hannah. And she went to her place of worship and prayed to God because she was carrying a heavy load of problems and worry, and she didn't know where to go and who to help her deal with her problems. So she went to God and she prayed. And she was very committed to going and praying to God in the temple. And slowly, her prayers were heard. And God answered her prayers And it made her load lighter. Now try my backpack. Now try it on. It made her load much lighter. Is that better? Could you carry that around all day if it was lighter? Yes. God gives us each other to share our problems and our loads. Yeah. Okay, you can take that back when we're done, okay? I'll let you look at that big book. But through prayer, we can go to God when we have problems and load to carry, and He lifts our burden. He hears us, and He lifts the burden, and He gives us each other, too, who we can talk to and share whatever that problem, that heaviness is. Then it makes our load light. We can go to teachers and our parents and our friends, and especially to God with our heavy burdens. We have His help. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this journey called life that you give us. And thank you that you give us each other and that you give us yourself, that we can share our burdens, share our anxieties with you, and you hear our prayers and you lighten our load. Amen. Thank you. Go back to your seats. Lincoln? Lincoln, you want to take the book? Britt, would you come up and I'll give a little introduction? This is Britt Carlson, who is pastor of community life and outreach at Portland Mennonite Church. She has been there since October of 2016. And I got to know Britt when I went to conference this summer in Boise, Idaho. She did a workshop on Stephen ministry, and I was a part of that workshop. So since then, we have talked about it. It's a ministry that is thriving at Portland Mennonite, and I wanted her to, for you to get acquainted with her, but for her to also share a bit about that ministry and how it's working at Portland. So we're going to hear from her, and then she has also brought Ruth Nicely, who is a part of Stephen Ministry, who will also be sharing with us later. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for my sister Britt, and for your spirit at work in her life. I pray that you would speak words of life to us today. Thank you for her preparation, and may her message be a blessing to us. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, it is a joy to be with you all here today. I, a couple weeks ago, got to preach at Salem Mennonite. They're in a pastor search right now, and so they're getting pinch hitters. So I feel like I'm making the Mennonite rounds, and it is a good thing for us to, as pastors, to get to know our other congregations in PNMC, to build those ties that bind us. We might not be large as a denomination, but we are strong. So it is good to be here today. Well, I am going to read from Jeremiah. Okay. Jeremiah 32. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. The army of the king of Babylon was then besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was confined in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace of Judah. Now Zedekiah, king of Judah, had imprisoned him there, saying, "Why do you prophesy as you do? You say, 'This is what the Lord says. I am about to give this city into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he will capture it.' Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape the Babylonians, but will certainly be given into the hands of the king of Babylon. and will speak with him face to face and see him with his own eyes. He will take Zedekiah to Babylon, where he will remain until I deal with him, declares the Lord. If you fight against the Babylonians, you will not succeed. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of Shallum, your uncle is going to come to you and say, buy my field at Anathoth, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it. Then, just as the Lord had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said, buy my field at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin, since it is your right to redeem it and possess it, buy it for yourself. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So today I've been invited to share a little bit about a ministry we have at Portland Mennonite called Stephen Ministry, and we've been involved with it for a couple of years now. And Stephen Ministry is a ministry of giving and receiving one-on-one confidential care. Every week, 13 people from our congregation get into their cars and drive to coffee shops or homes or our church and meet one-on-one with their what we call care receivers, listening to stories of divorces and questions about faith and grief over lost loved ones, and finding that they, as Stephen ministers, are transformed in the process. Ruth Nicely, who is here with me today, is one of our Stephen ministers, and she'll be sharing a little bit about her experience as a Stephen minister here in a minute. But before Ruth shares, I want to get at the heart of why we've chosen to do Stephen ministry. Why 13 people at Portland Mennonite Church would agree to give 7 hours every month to caring in this way. Why Stephen ministry isn't just a nice add-on to our life at PMC, but why it's an integral part of our call as disciples. And why the small steps of Stephen ministry hold seeds of true hope. Because Stephen ministry really is about hope. Hope when things in life get really hard, hope for our own healing, and hope for each other's healing. So today I want to share from my heart with you all, and I'm going to do that through stories. First through the story of a man and a people who were told to hope, and then through a poem, and then through a story about some small steps I took a few years ago, and finally a story about a poet who was a bad investor. So first, a story about a man and a people who were told to hope. Jeremiah and the Israelites. When we get to Jeremiah chapter 32, things aren't looking too well for the Israelites. Jeremiah, who is Israel's prophet, has been imprisoned by Israel's king Zedekiah for saying what nobody wants to hear, that Jerusalem is about to be destroyed. In the Bible, if you're imprisoning prophets, you know you are headed for disaster. And that disaster has shown up in the form of the Babylonian army that is surrounding the city. It's the worst day of Israel's life, the day when false optimism and bravado has died, and Jeremiah's hard words have come to terrible life in the gleaming helmets and stamping horses outside the city walls. There is no way out of this one. With destruction at the doorstep, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah one last time. Jeremiah, the Lord says, go buy that field in Anathoth, because the right of redemption is yours. Now hold up. The world superpower, Babylon, is about to crush Jerusalem. The Israelites are about to be sent into exile. And now God says, Let's invest in real estate. It's like God saying, Hurricane Michael is about to hit. Now is the perfect time to invest in property in the Florida Panhandle. God is calling Jeremiah to an absolutely irrational act. Jeremiah being called to buy property right when property values have hit zero. And he's supposed to do this as a sign to all of the people of Israel that, yes, their lives have hit rock bottom. Yes, they are about to hit zero. And yet, God is not done with them. They will go into exile, but behold, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought in the land. In the time of Israel's greatest fear coming true, fear they had tried to bury and escape, God's word to Israel is hope. Jeremiah's act is irrational, and it's such a small act, you could call it inconsequential. Who cares about a field way out in Anathoth? But the irrational and the inconsequentially small has always been what hope is all about. You know, nobody gets hope better than the author and poet Wendell Berry. Nobody has a better sense of God's hankering for the irrational and the small. I love this poem. Maybe you've heard it before, and this is just part of it. Ask questions that have no answer. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest. Say that the leaves are harvested when they have rotted into the mold. Call that profit. Prophesy such returns. Put your faith in the 2 inches of humus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Be like the fox, who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Plant sequoias, Berry says. You know, a mature sequoia produces 300 to 400,000 cones a year. And the cones typically remain green and closed for up to 20 years. Every year, a sequoia produces 300,000 to 400,000 small signs of hope that life can and will go on. Signs that might not even begin to take root for 20 more years. Planting a sequoia is planting what you'll never see the fruit of in your lifetime. It's planting in hope. Jeremiah is planting a sequoia for the Israelite people when he buys that field at Anathoth. He's burying a seed deep into the ground that most of the Israelites won't see come to fruition within their lifetime. And yet that concrete action is hope itself. As one person I read said the other day, you don't possess hope. You practice it. It's a discipline, and you have to put it into practice daily. You have to act. Hope is not surgically inserted into us by God the moment we are baptized, and it wasn't pumped directly into the Israelites either. Hope is a practice. If hope is anything, it is concrete actions in the world. Concrete actions that are often so very small. These 300,000 pine cones that sequoias give off, they're holding seeds that are so very small. A few years back, I had just ended an engagement. I can genuinely say that it was one of the worst days of my life. One of those Babylon at the gates days where the future is 100% uncertain. I can remember sitting on my bed in my room saying to myself, Britt, all you have to do today, all you have to do today is walk to the kitchen. That's all you have to do. And I got up and I walked to the kitchen and I had to stop halfway and lean my forehead against the wall. And when I got to the kitchen, I said, "Britt, all you have to do is walk back to the bedroom." And so I walked back to my bedroom. And then the next day I said, "Britt, all you have to do is drive to the lake. You don't even have to get out of your car, just drive to the lake." And then the next day I said, "All you have to do is sit at the edge of the lake." And every day it was a little farther until I started walking around that lake almost every single day of the week, and that lake became my salvation. God wants us to live. God wants all of creation to live. God's very nature is life. I am the resurrection and the life. But getting to that life doesn't always come immediately. Those small steps were my practice of hope. My small way of moving toward life and not away from it. And those were very small steps, just to the kitchen, just to the lake. But they were steps. Being a people who plant sequoias means being a people committed to doing small things, most of which we'll never even see the fruit of. The small things that lead to life, even if that life seems so far off. 3 years ago, we at Portland Mennonite felt a nudge to start taking small steps. We started exploring the possibility of starting a Stephen ministry at our church. See, Stephen ministry is a ministry to people who are having the worst days of their life. It's a ministry of care to people who have come face to face with the army at their gates. Maybe they've heard the diagnosis. Maybe the bank has come calling. Maybe they're just new to the area and feeling a little lost. Whatever their worst day is, they need hope. And hope is what Stephen Ministry gives. See, sitting down with someone and truly listening to them, truly listening, can seem like something so insignificant. What could an hour a week of just listening possibly do? What could the small things of just nodding our heads and asking questions and offering to pray ever do in a world of big pain? Well, it turns out that those small things are, in fact, sequoia seeds. Ruth now is going to share a little about her experience of planting those seeds.
I've been a Stephen minister at our church for almost 2 years, and all of that time has been with one individual. And if you would ever decide to come to be a Stephen minister, I trust that you would have good experiences and a lot of good learning like I've had. And it's just simply the greatest gift given, Rachel Naomi Remen says, and she's a physician who's dealt with a lot of folks with terminal cancer. The greatest gift we can give each other often is just listening. So that's a very vital part of being a Stephen minister. And certainly at moments you would find yourself, I trust, asking questions in a conversation, not to be nosy, but to give that individual time to find her answer to that question. That then can lead to the next step, which may be another question, or it may be time for prayer at that moment. But being together, and this is what I've learned, greater than I had known before, how deeply God cares that we care for each other, bear each other's burdens. And we can do that because we know how much God cares for us. And just a few things about Stephen Ministry. My minister person is a young mother, children, a busy household, a hardworking husband, a part-time job. You've got the picture. And there are times when she is so glad to just stop and be quiet with me. And we have had some really, really blessed times together. And sometimes when I hear her praying, I feel the deepest movement of the Spirit. Some of the most profound things that she is learning, I hear her say when we are praying together. By the way, she never lets me forget that. We always pray together when we meet. There are a number of other persons who've been Stephen ministers, as Britt said. And just to give you a bit of a picture, one of our Stephen ministers met three or four times with a young man who had just gone through a divorce and found life a real challenge. Another person is a Stephen minister to a woman whose husband is dying of cancer. As you know, mine is a young mother. There was one who was just a remarkable experience. And we gather together twice a month for sharing. It's called supervision, but it's mutual sharing and caring and helping each other through this. As she talked with us, it was this picture of a woman going through a major transition, later than midlife, losing health, losing a job, needing to find a way, needing to be sure that she was holding on to Christ. And they two spoke together at our church one Sunday morning, and it was just this great, rich, rich, deep blessing. Let me tell you that you may also need to learn how to set really good boundaries, because my Stephen minister person happens to be someone I've known for 15 years. We have worked together. We're good friends. And so one time I found myself needing to say, wait a minute, that was a friend comment, not a Stephen minister comment. And she understood very quickly. But the mutuality of a relationship like that is just a gift to us. And I would say, I would just remind us that every teacher is taught by her students. Every therapist is healed by her clients. And all of us, right? All of us adults learn a lot from children, right? So, are you getting ready to be a Stephen minister?
Thank you, Ruth, for sharing about your experience with the person that you minister to. And Ruth is right. It is a back and forth relationship. You learn as a Stephen minister, you learn from the person you're ministering to. And our Stephen ministers have then received care themselves. And it's a very mutual ministry. And there's a lot of details to this ministry. And I'm sure as you explore this process, that is something that Jana will be sharing with you and that you can learn more about. But Really, at the heart of this ministry, it's about listening, it's about being compassionate, it's about being confidential, and it's about being supported. You're never, ever alone in Stephen ministry. As you're giving ministry to others, there's always a group of people to help you walk through your ministry with the person that you're in relationship with. Now, all of these things, listening, being there, being compassionate, they might seem so small. They might seem so small, but they are so big. And being a people of the small things, being a people who plant sequoias, like Ruth does every week with her Stephen ministry, just might be the thing that sets us free. Since we read Barry's poem, I thought our last story for today should be about a poet. It's not any mistake that poetry comes up when we talk about hope. To choose a life of poetry is to choose a life that many would say is as irrational as buying a field in the midst of an invasion. It's to choose a life that has been called absurd and irrelevant, a life of the small things, perhaps, a sequoia planting life. Last fall, I got to spend some time with a guy named Christian Wyman, who's a poet and the former editor of Poetry Magazine. We were at lunch when Wyman mentioned that he and his wife, about 10 years ago or so, had bought a house in Chicago, their first house that they had ever owned. A week after they signed the final papers, the subprime mortgage crisis hit. Housing prices plummeted. Then a couple of months later, Yale University asked him to take a position, and they had to sell their house. Now, if you've been in as many real estate conversations as I have been in recently, you know how they go. It's, well, I bought, the market was so low, and then my house has skyrocketed in value, or I bought in this neighborhood right before it got really popular, and wow, my house's value has really gone up. But when Wyman told the story about how he hit the market wrong in every single way, he laughed. Deep and long, and dare I say, joyful. That just might be the kind of people we can become if we buy fields in Anathoth. We might become the kind of people that laugh at the future, not because we're so confident, but because the past has been so absolutely, completely absurd and hard. And yet everything somehow hasn't fallen apart. We're still here. We're still alive, one way or another. This is the hope that we are practicing at Portland Mennonite Church through Stephen Ministry and through so many other ways. Not that everything is easy, but that we're still here and that we're still here for one another. Listening to one another, hoping against hope for one another, praying for one another. When the enemy is at the gates, when there's no reason to be optimistic, these are the things we do, the small things. And this is my heart for you, that on the worst day of your life, when you've hit zero, when Babylon is at your gates, that God would give you a sequoia to plant or a field to buy, and that you would learn to give that same hope to others. Because in a time of fear and uncertainty and complication, God's word to us is hope. Hope that sends out deep roots and lofty branches, living sequoias that will grow tall and broad, and birds of every sort will come and find rest in its branches.
turn and sing the story for our response song, number 49.
Oh, let's tune this.
I will come to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still. The shadows of the night, I will be your light. Come and rest in me. Do not be afraid, I am with you. I love
Britt, thank you very much for the word and the vision you've also planted before us, and Ruth as well. Thank you for sharing, and for Jana, thank you also for sharing your enthusiasm and interest in this ministry. And the pastoral leadership team, the elders and the pastors, are behind Jana 100% as she goes to explore this and develop this program within the congregation. Before we get to the sharing of prayers, joys, and prayer concerns, let's go to any announcements that you might have about the life and ministries of this congregation. So first of all, any announcements? If you have them, please raise your hand. Karen. Let's see, will you pass this down?
Yes, Richard and I and Sean and Bree Epp, thank you for helping us in the sausage booth. And there is sausage that is not sold that we have for sale today. So right out on the porch here, right after service, well, you can purchase sausage, which will the money will go to MCC.
Thank you, and that was very good sausage, and thanks to you all who were working in the booth yesterday. I had something else for lunch yesterday during the sale. I won't say what it was. It was good, but next year I'm going for the sausage again. Any other announcements? Yes, Kelly.
I just want to draw your attention to the insert in the bulletin about the Pregnancy Care Center baby bottle boomerang. We had planned that anyone who wanted to take one of the bottles could take it, and especially families with children in Sunday school, so that the kids can bring those bottles with their offering when they come to Sunday school. But I also want you to see on the back side is a list of other baby items needed, diapers and pull-ups, wipes, different child care items, because I really hope that Zion can encourage and support pregnancy care centers to care for children beyond just the pregnancy needs, but also after those children are born and they have a parenting program. I just think that we need to provide support for that aspect of pregnancy care center as well. So I put a box in the back of the foyer there where you can put those other items. And if you have any questions, please talk to me.
This is Cheryl Greenreach. Bridge and Cultures, the Thanksgiving meal is coming up on November 17th. It's a Saturday. So mark your calendars for that. And once again, we're looking for pies that we need to help with that. So I'll be putting up a sign-up sheet. I don't have it up yet, but please consider they can be made by you or it can be purchased. And I might be calling on you for some other help as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, Ursula.
I see it's Ladies Night Out in November 1st, and there is a mistake for RSVP because it's November 25th, and I think we can respond later than the meeting is. So it's probably October 25th.
So it's November 25th. Okay, thanks. I'm sorry, what? October 25th, we respond. Okay, very good. Thanks. Let's see, I saw another hand. Stan.
I just want to thank everybody who was involved with the MCC sale yesterday. Many of you gave your time, your talents, and your money. And as we sang the song this morning, Longing for Light, it just struck me that a lot of those verses fit the work of Mennonite Central Committee. And like the third verse says, longing for food, many are hungry. Longing for water, many still thirst. Make us your bread, broken for others, shared until all are fed. And that's just one of the verses that really seemed to fit. I heard last night that preliminary numbers are that about $100,000 was raised, which is almost what it was last year. And you know, back in September, there were bulletin announcements for encouraging any of you here to donate money from Zion for the sale. And so that money, about $940, was donated. And the items and the trips and experiences that were purchased with that money brought in over $1,600 yesterday. So I just wanted to thank you again for that. And on the table out here in the foyer, there's a few items that did not sell in the country store. Some pretty cool things. You might look at them, and if you like any of them, you can make a donation and put the money in a container there and take them with you. So thanks again.
Serenity.
Hi, this is Serenity, and I am making an announcement about youth. So I want everyone to look at their bulletin because there's a MYF and junior high update in there. Please read it carefully because our amazing, amazing kids we are wanting to do a lot of things this year. And as parents, we are doing this together to organize and continue it going together. But we also need everyone else's help. So this is not that I imagine what Britt was talking about and what Jana was sharing about with sharing the load and planting hope. It just goes along with what I imagine we are doing with our youth. Our youth is our future, and I don't imagine us seeing immediate fruit or whatever, but I do imagine that what we are doing with them is a beautiful thing, and it is practicing hope. So we do meet every second and fourth Sundays now. On second Sundays we meet here. MYF then meets on the fourth Sunday also, either here or at wherever, whoever is hosting. There are lots of different ways you can be involved. You can help host, and you can help us do other activities, whatever. But we also will be fundraising. So for the convention in July, we want to take a bunch of kids there, and we will be doing a fundraiser on the 28th. For a ice cream, we're going to do an ice cream table. The kids are going to be amazing at that, and they're going to make amazing Sunday ice cream Farrell things for you. If anybody went to Farrell's, I don't know, that's old school. Anyways, thanks for listening. If you have any questions, Kara and I are doing this administrative part together. So thank you, Kara, for your help.
I'm just going to steal that. This is Anna. So along the vein of an announcement about the children, tonight is the first night of Second Sunday, and I have some extra postcards if you think you might have friends or other people in the community who would be interested in coming. It starts tonight, and then after that, it's just every second Sunday of the month. So you can check out my postcards in the back.
Thank you. Are there other announcements or reflections on yesterday's experience? Richard.
Yes, this one says Barnabas Street is thriving, even though it's so small, and we meet every Saturday at 12 o'clock at Rounders on First Street in Canby.
Bible study at Rounders? Oh, sorry. Okay, fellowship. Okay, very good. At Rounders, every Saturday. Richard is there faithfully with friends. Okay, thank you. Any sharing or prayer concerns that we'd like to bring to each other's attention? Or any reflections on yesterday's experience of the relief sale? I know for me it was a delight to see so many of you there helping and working in any number of ways. The sausage booth, yes. Let's see, I saw Clyde there with MDS. I saw many wonderful handcraft items that Lynn had made. See, Anna? Yeah. Oh, and the nuts, the cinnamon sugar nuts, they're almost half gone at our house already. Yes.
Yes, I was going to comment on that. I just wanted to express more appreciation everyone from Zion who contributed to the country store. I wasn't help organizing this year, but I was just there volunteering to cashier, and some really wonderful things that people, I mean, they just spent a lot of time doing their crafts and the woodworking and art and jewelry and everything, and I just think you really deserve a special appreciation for that. Thank you.
And thank you. Just another quick story. We took my father and stepmother to the Indiana-Michigan relief sale a number of years back. Tons and tons of people involved. Amish, Old Order Mennonites, all sorts of groups there. And my dad said, I'm experiencing something here. I'm feeling something here. What is it? And finally he said, I know what it is. It's community. That's what he was experiencing. Anything else that we can bring to prayer this morning? Stan.
Well, I just thinking about my dad this morning. Today is his birthday, and he would be 88 years old. And so he died 29 years ago, and less than a week after less than a week before his brain cancer struck him down, he had attended a Stephen ministry workshop. And he came back and he was so excited about what that ministry could mean for him as a chaplain at Glencroft Retirement Community. And just knowing his excitement about it, and I'm just excited about what that might hold for us at Zion, and how we might be involved in the future.
And that was Pastor John Oyer? Yeah, his birthday today. Yes, Jana.
And my mother, who passed away last January, has been a Stephen minister for several years, and over I would go visit her, and I would share about, you know, my work in church. And Jana, you need a Stephen ministry. And I just poo-pooed it for, you know, a long time. Okay, Mom, yeah, you're doing that. Okay, whatever. And now her voice is in my head. She's looking down on me and saying, you didn't listen to me. So, Stan, I feel this same opportunity, and, you know, that my mother was telling me what needed to happen, and I wasn't listening, so... Same thing.
Like you said, Britt, sometimes those seeds take decades to germinate. Okay. Well, would you please join me then in a spirit of prayer, and then we'll bring the prayer to close with the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, there are seeds of grace planted in our hearts and lives from years back by people whose names we don't know even, but you know them. And Lord, your timeless work goes ever forward, often unknown to ourselves. So I'm sure we will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you homeless and shelter you? We will not remember, because that was simply your life through us. But you know it all, dear Lord. And we pray that any fallow ground of our hearts, of our relationships, would be broken up so that these seeds can indeed grow, take root deep within us, and bear fruit to honor you and to give joy, love, and hope to your people. Thank you, dear God, for this vision of care. Seeds planted by Pastor John Oyer, but also encouraged and watered today by Britt and by our friend Ruth, but also given to the care of Jana. And we pray for this ministry going forward, that we would indeed grow in love and in the capacity and the giftedness of giving and sharing and cultivating hope, your life, your love among us. Thank you for what all we saw and experienced and contributed and received yesterday and in the days leading up to yesterday's relief sale. Lord, again, so many little special loving touches went into that. So much creativity and energy and generosity, O Lord. And you know just what fruits all these offerings will bear in the world to come and in this world even. But Lord, they're for you. You gave the desire, and Lord, you reap the harvest. Oh Lord, we pray for all the needs among us too as well, the burdens such as Jana demonstrated to the children that each of us carry on behalf of parents and neighbors and friends and children, grandchildren, and ourselves. Lord, you are big enough. Your shoulders that carry the cross are strong enough to carry all these things. Carry us, dear Lord, as we carry them. And thank you again for the beauties and the blessings of this season, of our love, of our family, of our lives, of our community. Thank you for those things. Thank you for Richard and his faithfulness, oh God, to meet with friends there at Rounders. Bless his contacts with others. And we pray, oh Lord, that he as well will be used continually of you to plant those seeds of hope, of faith, of love, and of life. Dear God, we're part of a bigger kingdom all throughout this world and all throughout time and the generations. For them, whether in poverty or persecution or in plenty, we pray. And with them, we pray, as you taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You know, I have to say, 4 years ago, when Dave had his head injury, there was a couple from this church that walked with us that whole time. And we didn't have Stephen's Ministries going, but I don't know what we would have done without them, because they were just there checking in all the time when, you know, he looked just fine and everybody else thought back to normal, but he wasn't back to normal. And it was a very, very hard time. And I'm so thankful that somebody was just, you know, that they walked with us. And I feel that I really am glad that we're going to get something like this going. I also want to ask for prayer for her son, Levi, and his wife, who have separated, and they just need prayer. They need healing, and I ask for your prayers for them. Let's stand and sing this Healer of Our Every Ill, number 377.
Jesus is our hope. Go in peace.